Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
I feel like this entire year, every time we talk about COVID-19, we keep referencing how, you know, business have been badly affected, the economy gradually worsened. And then, you know, regardless of the company size, businesses across the board, they face multiple challenges like how to, you know, say, cancel funding rounds, employee layoffs, pay cuts and whatnot.
So you think to yourself, okay, where is the silver lining? Mm. But I think we've had a bit of a theme developing on the show already this morning, because one of the silver linings is that the amount of innovation that comes out of a crisis, right? So despite the downturn, we've seen this positive impact of startups on the economy, and that shouldn't be overlooked.
It's like tech is the answer, right? Well, Tech in Asia's annual flagship event, Tech in Asia Conference 2020, get this, is happening from next Monday, October the 19th to the 22nd. And basically, there is this forum that brings startups and investors alike to come together, you know, to dive into the discourse and insights of the vibrancy, not only Singapore, but around the region, just looking at this entire startup ecosystem.
Yeah, for the first time ever, it's put together its inaugural report as a precursor to set the tone for this year's conference theme, and it's called Southeast Asia's Golden Age.
I like the sound of that. It's very nice. So the study revealed that the region's economic growth, the challenges that this year has presented to the ecosystem, and how this is a prelude to the start of a golden age of the next decade ahead.
Yeah.
2021 onwards.
It's brilliant. So to tell us a bit more about the study and what we can expect from the startup scene in this region, we have on the line Maria Lee, who is Chief Operating Officer at Tech in Asia. A very good Friday morning, Maria. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Good morning. How are y'all?
Yeah, we're good. Thank you. It's a bright and breezy one. So let's talk about this Tech in Asia Conference 2020. The first time ever you've put together this inaugural report. It really sets the tone because you've called it, and both Elliot and myself like this title, Southeast Asia's Golden Age. Why put this together in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So conceptually, we did start planning for the conference, you know, much earlier in the year before a lot of, you know, 2020 unfolded the way it did. But I think when we took a step back and evaluated the conference and what we were trying to do, even in terms of our new environment, we still felt like the overall fundamentals of this region and the tech sector specifically within this region were still really strong. Southeast Asia's Golden Age is a concept that was pioneered by Nick Nash from Asia Partners. And it really says that if you look at the overall rising GDP, the per capita, the macroeconomic influences of the tech sector and of Southeast Asia's region, we're really set for a golden age for innovation, for startup, and it's going to be one of the main drivers for the economy for the next decade or so. None of those necessarily change with COVID-19. I think if anything, and you've been able to see this, a lot of the different tech trends have actually been accelerated, right? So tech has been a super interesting sector for us to be following, startups in particular. I think there are normal business challenges, so I don't want to downplay those. But at the same time, when you look at the overall fundamentals, and then now people's behaviors are already shifting in a way that previously seemed unimaginable, we felt like, you know, the golden age was still a really solid concept. It was something we really wanted to highlight. And in crafting our own agenda, we were doing a ton of research on, like, emerging frontier markets, emerging business models, emerging sectors, and felt like the research that we were coming across was so rich, we wanted to put together a pre-conference report to kind of help ease our attendees into this overall concept, get them familiar with some of the segments, and so that they'd be so much more excited and knowledgeable when they actually attended the conference next week.
Maria, it sounds like if, you know, you are already in a startup, you're definitely going to have challenges this year. But if you're thinking of starting a startup, there's a right sort of mindset to jump into this wave that we're seeing. Tell us a little bit more about the mindset shift that's needed to start a startup right now.
Yeah, sure. So I think probably the mindset shift has come along two different lines.
Okay.
One is, I'm hoping, I think people are already starting to see this, that there's actually going to be more people starting startups in this period. Why? Because the opportunity cost is actually lower. You know, normally, I think in good times, you're in a safe, secure job, you're getting paid very good salary from your multinational, like work is kind of fun. It's not the most inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when we're all locked at home, we've lost some of the normal office culture and work-life balance. You know, people start to question, what am I working for? Like, what's my purpose here and what's my mission? And so I think some of those questions end up driving people to starting a startup. They find a problem that they're really eager to solve. They want to dedicate their career and, you know, a good chunk of their lives to helping solve that issue. So we're hoping that the opportunity costs for overall founders and mission-driven founders in particular are lower. And that's a good time to start startups. And then I think the second one is actually finding a more sustainable startup business model. And this isn't necessarily new in 2020. This trend started, you know, definitely last year at least. But the idea of the days of like just burning a ton of cash and capital to fuel growth, I think investors and startup founders are playing it a lot safer now, which means that the startup business model that will be coming out of 2020 will hopefully also be more sustainable. They'll have better unit economics. They'll have a better control on their costs and understand the market value proposition. So if anything, they're actually built to last a little bit longer and contribute more back to the overall economy.
So, Maria, given what you're saying then, and by the way, I love that comment that you made about purpose, because I hear this all the time from people since the outbreak of COVID-19 and work from home. But bringing it back to Singapore, if this is what's happening and we're seeing this rise of the startup, are there any particular industries or any particular sectors where we're seeing a lot of startups in particular?
Yeah, so I think edtech and health tech definitely are two. Those make sense, right? So if you look at the overall, like the way startups usually move and the overall tech trend, you know, first generation tends to be like pure infrastructure play, right? Like your telcos, making sure that people are connected can actually even begin to use their tech gadgets. The next one becomes their daily lives. And so that's actually why right now you're seeing a ton of money being invested into e-commerce, into fintech, because this is how people kind of move around with their daily lives. How do they get around? How do they pay for goods and services? The next one is actually like the more disruptive one where you're upending like traditional business models. And that tends to be in our healthcare systems as well as our educational systems. So edtech and health tech obviously have also been uniquely affected, and like actually they've seen tailwinds this year because people had no other way of accessing a lot of these services. So those are really exciting to watch. And again, I think people are much more open to trying new things right now, right? Like nobody thought we would be in this situation a year ago. And so you have this like small opening where founders can get people to actually get consumers to change their buying behavior, change their overall user behavior. And I think that's really important for startups to kind of take advantage of. Separately, I think agri-food tech is an area that we're pretty excited about. There's been a lot of talk about localized food supply chains. I think overall you've seen that supply chains and the difficulty of moving goods across borders has become really apparent this year. And so I think there's going to be a lot of changes when it comes to your local food supply chain as well as your overall supply chain. Like how do we move things around the world? And then finally, I think what's interesting would be on the content side. So things that I'm keeping an eye on is obviously this year, I think iFlix and Hook both made headlines for various reasons. Disney Plus Hotstar has started to make moves into Indonesia. I think this idea of like Southeast Asia is emerging enough now as like a regional powerhouse that localized digital content will also become a pretty interesting space.
Wow. It you could actually put it all in an entire bracket. The things to look out for are the problem-solving sectors. Yes. In that sense. Yeah. This morning, we are speaking with Maria Lee, Chief Operating Officer of Tech in Asia. All right, let's get to the Tech in Asia conference for a bit. This is an annual flagship conference, and you guys have created a forum bringing startups and investors, VCs, that is. So, you know, at this forum, when it comes to pitching themselves, these startups, should they look at pitching themselves differently compared to pre-COVID-19, or are investors already looking to hear something unique? What are your thoughts on this? What advice would you give potential startups?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the sustainability of their business model. I think coming back, I mean, one thing that's much more relevant now is that there's, you know, capital, whether or not there's been a lot of startup capital, I think is actually a tricky conversation. At the earlier stages, startup capital has actually been flowing fine. I do think in the later stages, your Series C and D, it's been a little bit tighter. But there is still capital for early stage startups. But that capital is being reserved for startups who actually are really showing promise and revenue and traction coming out of 2020. So have a lot of focus on your business model. Have a very clear grasp on your revenue and your cost levers and show how you're going to be able to be a sustainable startup. So like I said, you know, that the days of startups burning cash are kind of out the window, and investors are really kind of keeping a close eye on your overall business model and what you're able to do at the unit economics level and in terms of achieving profitability.
Just a quick follow-up on that one. Talking about the sustainability of your business, that would you say that plays a huge part where, you know, you're trying to pitch the startup's potential in the years to come? Is this something that investors will watch out for very carefully? I mean, these two tend to go hand in hand. Am I right to say that?
Yeah, exactly right. And it's a tricky balance, to be honest, because, you know, sometimes in order to grow, you do have to burn capital, right?
Yeah.
You need to invest in your own growth. Like, that's literally your capital expenditure at that point in time. And so VCs also want to see massive growth potential. And so I think there's no perfect formula, unfortunately, but it is, how do you show the largest and best growth trajectory possible while still saying that, like, you know what, it's not going to be this like endless pit of money round after round, but actually I will be able to start demonstrating, you know, revenue accruing at whatever stage, profitability accruing at whatever stage. You may not be able to fully cover the gap and as a business be overall profitable while you're still growing, but you can at least show, like, you know, trends in the right direction.
Yeah, we're speaking to Maria Lee, Chief Operating Officer at Tech in Asia. Although I do have a slightly left field question, which is, you know, you hear about all of this exciting stuff with you know, the golden age of tech in Southeast Asia. And there are a lot of retail investors out there who are beginning to say, when are we going to see more democratization of the investment opportunity in these startups? We are beginning to see this with platforms in a number of countries, but is it always going to be the domain of the VC, for example, to get involved at this stage, or are we going to see that open up?
That's a great point. And actually, I think this is one of the biggest challenges that Singapore and the region faces is the lack of great exits so far. So, you know, any point of a healthy tech ecosystem, any financial ecosystem, is that you have investors and then, you know, you have the payout and then it kind of trickles down and it keeps going, right? And so I think one thing that's been a bit of a bottleneck, and this is specific to Singapore because Singapore startups have attracted so much capital, is there's been a lack of really amazing exits, right? For IPOs, you've seen Razer and you've seen C Group, and they've both done quite well. But that's kind of it, right? There aren't that many other great exits. And that actually is when you can start to, you know, build up a proper ecosystem, because who cashes out? The founders cash out, the early management team, not knowing the investors. There's more capital in the overall system. It's a proven market thesis that this is a place where you can make your money back. And then it starts to trickle out. And then it becomes a lot easier for retail investors, I think, to get involved in various ways. So I do think that the startup, from the investment side, we're still in those earlier stages. And it'll take a few great exits for that to kind of proliferate and become a lot more accessible to everybody else.
Maria, Let's Sell Tech in Asia Conference 2020. It's happening from Monday. What can we expect? Any notable speakers or guests?
Yeah, I'm, of course, super pumped for the lineup this year. We have 4 full days of content. I guess I would divide it into, you know, 2 different segments. So one thing we want to focus on is definitely the brightest and emerging leaders from Southeast Asia. And so we've put a lot of emphasis on frontier markets. We have the CEO of Patel speaking. We have, you know, great regional heavyweights. Peter Bithos, the formerly of Hook, the CEOs of Bukalapak and OVO in Indonesia. The president of Grab will be speaking. The chairman of Enterprise Singapore will be actually opening for us. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing, is like the local regional talent across the region. And then a second main thread we focused on for our speakers is also bringing in incredible founders and tech thought leaders from, you know, other regions. And so we have a lot from Silicon Valley. We have Michael Siebel, who is the president of Y Combinator. We have the CIO of Zoom, the CEO and founder of TransferWise from Europe. So, and then, of course, our speakers from China, such as like Pinduoduo. So, you know, we try to make this as obviously an educational experience as possible, where you're either learning, you know, locally from your regional peers or from, you know, international heavyweights who are coming in to share their thoughts on Southeast Asia's golden age.
Wow. Sounds like it's going to be really
great
exciting.
Lineup. Yeah.
Maria Lee, Chief Operating Officer Tech in Asia, on the line with us this morning. Maria, thank you so much for your time. Take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.